السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Tashahud, Tawuz, and Surah Fatiha, Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ayyidullah Ta'ala bin Nasir al-Aziz, says, "From time to time, I narrate faith-inspiring incidents which contain accounts of people's own conversions to Ahmadiyyat, or they consist of extraordinary spiritual experiences after their having accepted Ahmadiyyat. For they consist of the accounts of the blessings of Allah the Almighty upon the community and of the progress and strengthening of the faith of the members of the Jamaat, as well as the results of those blessings. Many people write to me or express that I should continue narrating such incidents because they also attract the attention of our children as they are absorbing. They result in the betterment of the religious and spiritual state of the youth and also serves as a means of refining our own spiritual states and causes our attention to be drawn towards improving our own conditions. Some people who are Ahmadi by birth say that the state of the faith of the new converts and their relationship with Allah the Almighty puts them to shame and reminds them that they must also make progress in terms of faith. Likewise, some new converts also express that these incidents increase our faith also. However, alongside all of this, there are also people living in the Western countries or other such people who consider themselves to be very educated and developed, who although have originally come from Pakistan, but the world has absorbed them to such an extent, or perhaps they have indulged themselves in the world to such a degree that they are now fully engrossed in it. They do not pay attention to Allah the Almighty, or at least not as much attention as it behoves an Ahmadi, and do not uphold the rights of Allah the Almighty, which is compulsory upon anyone who has accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salam and has entered into the bayt. To begin with, they do not even pay attention to fulfilling the rights of Allah the Almighty and of the community established by Him. And if there is some attention, then only a little, that it equates to nothing. These people are negligent in fulfilling their religious duties. They do not ponder over the betterment of the state of their faith at all, or at best, they ponder very little. When the new converts narrate their incidents or any incidents which result in spiritual progress in some way, such people, upon hearing these incidents, say as a way of an allegation that why do such incidents of conversions and of increasing of faith only occur to Africans or Arabs or Asians? Why are there no such incidents among Europeans? Why are they not guided through dreams? Why are they not guided upon reading religious books? Why do they not pay any heed? And why do they not have any spiritual experiences? Firstly, those Europeans who pay heed to religion are also vouchsafed signs from Allah the Almighty. Allah the Almighty Himself creates the means of the progress of their faith. Here in the United Kingdom, there are many new converts, or they are native people who have performed the bid many years ago. Yet their faith continues to increase every day. The new converts who have recently joined Ahmadiyyat go through such experiences which are truly remarkable and which also becomes a means of increasing their certainty and faith in the being of Allah the Almighty. The truthfulness of the community continues to be revealed to them. Also, these people are progressing in their sincerity and loyalty for the institution of Khilafat. Amongst them, there are men as well as women. During the Lajna, Khudam and Ansar Ijtima'at, i.e. the Women's Youth Men Auxiliary Conventions, they narrate their own incidents, and some have even narrated them on MTA, which have been very faith-inspiring. Nevertheless, Allah the Almighty displays signs to those in the Western world who are interested in religion, and He manifests the truth of Ahmadiyyat to them. Then there are a denomination of people who, although do not accept Ahmadiyyat, are impressed with the preeminence and excellence of Islam, which they learn through Ahmadiyyat. Numerous of such accounts exist, which I relate after my tours or after jalsas. The key point to bear in mind here is that Allah the Almighty guides those who try to find Him for His sake. God does not care for people who are steeped entirely in materialism and have absolutely no inclination towards God, no connection with Him or religion, and no concern for the hereafter. Such persons are left deprived of guidance. Furthermore, the history of prophets tells us that generally it is the poor and weak who are interested in religion and accept the prophets. Normally we find greater passion to find Allah the Almighty and fear of Him in the meek, humble and destitute. The worldly and powerful say, as Allah the Almighty has said in the Holy Quran, that you have no value and your followers are أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأِي. Meaning, to all outwardly appearance, they are the most demeaned. Thus, worldly people are afflicted with arrogance and pride. Firstly, due to this arrogance, and secondly, because they are fully entangled with their materialistic endeavors. They completely lack the perception and insight to give heed to religion. The majority of people in Europe or the developed Western countries have become atheists. When they have completely turned away from Allah the Almighty, how will Allah the Almighty turn to them and give them guidance? Depicting the image of worldly people, the Prophet Muhammad says, in Surah Al-Asr, Allah the Almighty has described the lives of the disbelievers and that of the believers. The disbelievers lead a life like an animal, who have no purpose in their lives except to eat, drink, and fulfill their carnal desires. يَأْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامِ, i.e. just like the animals, all they do is eat and drink. However, take a bull that can eat grain, but when needing to pull the plow, it just sits idle. It was a tradition amongst farmers in the past to use bulls to pull the plow and cultivate the land. Here, as well as horses, were used to pull the plows. A bull that sits down when needing to work and simply only eats. The Prophet Sallallahu says, what will be the outcome of this? The farmer would sell such a bull to the butchers to be slaughtered. The Prophet Sallallahu continues by saying, and regarding those who neither follow nor have any concern for the commands of Allah the Almighty and live a life of sin, transgression and immorality, Allah the Almighty says, قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. In other words, why will my Lord have any concern for you if you do not worship Him? Thus, Allah the Almighty cares for those who bow towards and seeks guidance from Him. The Promised Messiah says further in this regard, truthfulness is a huge trait, without which amal salih, i.e. righteous deeds, cannot be performed. Allah the Almighty does not avert from His practice, and man, who is corrupt, also does not change his actions. God Almighty states, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, i.e. whoever struggles in the way of Allah the Almighty, He opens His paths for such a person. Those who constantly make efforts and remain ever concerned in their search for the true religion of God are granted guidance. Their faith is strengthened and they continuously progress. Allah the Almighty blesses some people for some act of piety or the other and displays to them His path. Therefore, the faith-inspiring accounts that are related are of people who are constantly engaged in the effort to find the right path. There are others upon whom descends the special grace of Allah the Almighty due to some act of virtue, and then are shown the right path by Him. Today I have also collated some accounts of people who strengthened in their devotion and sincerity and spirituality. Amir Sahib of Burkina Faso writes, "Our local missionaries went to a village called Lakim for tabligh, i.e. to propagate the message. After he completed his preaching, only an elderly lady took the bayt, i.e. the oath of allegiance. The local missionary informed the people of the village, 'Our mosque is 15 kilometers from here. If any of you wish to learn about the Ahmadiyya community, you may come there, where we have made arrangements for the Friday prayers.' In any case, that lady had taken the oath of allegiance." The local missionary says, "As a result of the monsoon, a waterway between the village and our mosque filled with water. After that elderly lady took the oath of allegiance, she would try to reach the mosque with her prayer mat every week for the Friday prayers. Seeing the area filled with water, she would open up her prayer mat right there and say, 'I have done the Friday prayer with the Ahmadis because that was my intention.' After a month, when the water in that place has subsided, this lady came to our mission house and related this whole incident. This was her devotion after accepting Ahmadiyyat. After hearing this, the local missionary set off once again to that village for preaching and said to them, 'Look at this elderly woman who was in search of the truth, and she found and accepted it. Allah the Almighty blessed her, and this is why she made such a great sacrifice.' So she would head out every Friday, but because of the impasses of water, she would sit down there and then return. But this was a devotion she displayed in any case." After the local missionary related this incident to the village, the others, seeing the devotion of the lady, including her very close relatives, and 30 in total, all took the oath of allegiance. Thus, this is how Allah the Almighty provided them with the means for guidance. Then there are people who became Ahmadis through dreams. From France, a lady by the name Asya Sahiba, who took the bet, says, "The reason why I wish to relate the account of my conversion is that perhaps you will be pleased with me and accept me in your blessed community. As was my routine, one day I was on the internet searching for new channels, and I found the link for Al-Hiwar al-Mubashir, a live Arabic discussion program on MTA. The subject of the death of the Messiah was being discussed at the time. I was left astonished by the fact that it was devoid entirely of any doubt, of conjecture, and the robust and unassailable arguments presented. A few days before, I had seen in a dream that I am about to fall in a dark well. I very firmly hold on to the ridge of the well with both of my hands, whilst my legs dangled below. I suddenly looked up and saw three or four white birds that were very white, but I was not aware of what they were. Those birds were trying to save me." She says that at first, I did not at all understand this dream. However, later on I understood that these birds were the panelists of the Al-Hiwar program, who appeared to me in the form of birds. At first, I was not aware of the fact that the founder of this Jamaat had claimed to be the Messiah and Mahdi. However, I had developed some doubt with regards to this. Following this, I decided to study the books of the Jamaat, especially those of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, in which I found nothing contrary to the teachings of Islam. As a matter of fact, quite in contrast to this, I saw in the blessed character of the Promised Messiah, al-Islam, a glorious champion defending Islam, Muslims, and the Holy Prophet with all his might, who was establishing the awe of Islam on its enemies through the means of these books. She says that following this, I offered the istikhara prayer, i.e. the prayer to seek divine guidance regarding a certain matter. And after 2 days, a friend of mine told me that she saw in a dream that I and that friend of mine are in the house of my mother-in-law, and that out of all the rooms I am in search of a particular room. Upon this, I see a bright, illuminated, and comfortable room, upon which I said to her that I like this room, and I will stay here. She said that I interpreted this dream in a positive manner, in that I should enter the Jamaat. Hence, I performed the Bayt. There is another lady from Turkey, Mira Sahiba, who was introduced to the Jamaat through MTA. She says that I wish to narrate the details of my Bayt. I was introduced to the Jamaat in 2010, and I was fortunate to join. I observed that my husband used to watch MTA Al-Arabiya with great passion. Hence, I started to watch it as well, and at times I would watch MTA even in his absence. My husband used to say to me that you should do the Bayt once you have gained satisfaction. Upon this, I would say that I cannot take this responsibility. I have a large family and the responsibilities of the house are many. Following this, I watched a program prepared by the Jamaat with regards to the Dajjal, i.e. the Antichrist, and I found the interpretation to be very logical and rational, which I had never heard before. Following this, I started to watch MTA even more. I watched the programs of the Hiwar and started to offer the Tahajjud prayer, i.e. pre-dawn voluntary prayer, regularly. After this, Abdul Qadir Odeh Sahib once visited, upon which I performed the Bayt. Following this, my daughter-in-law and daughters also took the Bayt. We would discuss topics related to the Jamaat and say that this is the true Islam. She says that the day I performed the Bayt, I saw in a dream that I am reciting the verses of Surah Al-Kahf. Upon this, I was certain that God Almighty would safeguard us from the evil of the Dajjal, i.e. the Antichrist, and that I will become one of the helpers and assistants of the Imam Mahdi. I am grateful to God that He endowed me with faith. May Allah enable me to fulfill this responsibility. Hence, this is the manner in which they personally write these accounts and also desire our prayers. Then there are some accounts relating to newly established Jamaats as to how Allah the Exalted establishes these Jamaats. Abdul Quddus Sahib, a missionary of Benin, writes that Mu'allim Zakariya Sahib went to a village in order to do tabligh, i.e. to propagate the true message of Islam. There, a friend said that people are presently out of the village due to their work and affairs. You should return on Friday when people will be present here. Hence, when the Mu'allim returned on Friday, he offered 2 nawafil, i.e. voluntary prayers, after entering the mosque, and with the permission of the Imam and the committee of the village, he started to preach. The Mu'allim delivered a speech on the commentary of the Surah Al-Fatiha and the advent of the Imam Mahdi, and the people continuously raised slogans of Allahu Akbar, i.e. Allah is the greatest, during the speech. When he finished conveying the message, the president of the committee of the mosque said that I was a Muslim by birth. However, until today, I have never heard a similar commentary of Surah Al-Fatiha. If this is the teachings of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, I congratulate everyone. We accept this Jamaat. Hence, alongside the Imam, every member of the Muslim community of the village accepted Ahmadiyyat, and in this manner, a new Jamaat was established. He says that the Maulvi, i.e. the religious cleric of this village, fiercely opposed this. When our Mu'allim returned home, the Maulvi called him and said to never return to this village and mosque. After some time, when our Mu'allim went there again, in relation to the national Ijtima of the Khudam al-Ahmadiyya Benin, and requested the Khudam to participate, the Maulvi once again stopped him and did not allow him to take the Khudam with him. However, the newly converted Khudam rejected the Maulvi, and all of them participated in the Ijtima. Hence, this is how Allah the Exalted humiliates those Maulvis who oppose us, and this is also how He is establishing new Jamaats. There is another account with regard to the establishment of new Jamaats, which is that of the Ashura region. The missionary writes that by the grace of Allah the Exalted, a new Jamaat was established. There was previously no Ahmadi in the village of Kuswani, in the district of Same. I had the opportunity to visit this village many times and many leaflets were distributed. Similarly, newspapers and books of the Jamaat were also distributed in this village, as a result of which not only are people beginning to do bayat, but the Jamaat has also formally been established. Furthermore, by the grace of Allah the Exalted, a plot for the mosque is being purchased here, and the local members of the Jamaat are personally preparing the bricks for the construction of the mosque. However, along with this, the opposition from the Muslims has also commenced. The opponents have started to spread disorder against the Jamaat and have started to display immoral behavior. He says that we sought permission from the authorities and arranged for a debate in the village. We made an announcement in the entire village and invited the Sunni Maulvis that if they believe that they are on the truth, they should come and we will display this in front of everyone. Hence, a debate was held in accordance with the agreed-upon program, and many non-Ahmadis participated in it. However, not a single Maulvi from the Sunnis attended. As a result, the people of the village understood that the Maulvis can do nothing but spread disorder. Allah the Exalted provides the means for the guidance of people in various manners, those people who are truly inclined towards religion. Amir Sahib of Burkina Faso writes that we preached in a village called Nabir. By the grace of Allah the Exalted, many people did bayt. A mullim was posted and assigned to a mosque there, which was made out of mud bricks, and the Friday prayers started to be offered regularly. However, the non-Ahmadi Maulvi started to create disorder. He entered the mosque exactly at the time for the Friday prayers and started to incite people in order to try and sway them away from Ahmadiyya. However, the Jamaat continued to grow. In the end, the Maulvi was unable to achieve anything upon which he built a mosque of his own opposite the mosque of the Jamaat and announced that the mosque of the Jamaat will from now on remain merely as a store for prayer mats and that no one would go there for prayers. However, the exact opposite took place. Only his relatives offer prayers in his mosque, whereas the number of worshippers in our mosque has started to increase. He further writes that in this small place, the attendance for Friday prayers is approximately 200 to 250 people. With regards to how Allah the Exalted manifests and the acceptance of prayers, the missionary of Benin, Ansar Sahib, writes, "We achieved 200 bayats in the village of Asio. Now in that village, a class for moral training is organized every Friday and Tuesday. The daughter of the Sadr Sahib in that area, who lived in another village, became severely ill, and due to this ailment, her body had become completely lifeless. He says that when I went to his village, Sadr Sahib said that please pray and also write to the Khalifa of the time requesting for prayers. He says that upon this I wrote a letter there and then. He wrote a letter to me. He says that when I returned the following day, the people told me that the girl had ceased to speak and move. They took the girl to the hospital. However, no treatment was proving to be beneficial. Subsequently, they brought her back home in a state of despair. A Maulvi was called, who recited various verses of the Quran and blew them on her. He charged 40,000 francs and a goat for this. However, the girl did not find any comfort. Following this, another Maulvi was called, who charged a similar huge amount. However, it did not make any difference. He says that we became disheartened with the Maulvis. We thought that the girls were going to pass away sooner or later and brought her to the house of her father. Hence, when we brought the girl here, her father had requested the Jamaat for prayers and had also written a letter to me requesting for prayers. He says that after only one day, the girl began to move and by the next evening, the illness had completely left her body. No one could perceive for her to survive. However, seeing her now, it is impossible to say that she had ever fallen ill. Hence, this is also a sign of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. The same Mualim of Burkina Faso by the name Fenzi Karim Sahib writes that we went to a village in order to do tabligh. When we arrived, we sought permission to preach, upon which the imam of the village said that your missionary had already visited us, and many of us had also pledged the bayt. However, not everyone in the village did the bayt. Therefore, you should preach your message, as those who were previously left out might also join after you conveyed the message to them. Hence, there was a lengthy sitting of questions and answers. In the end, the elder said that we have accepted Ahmadiyyat. However, there were still certain matters which had not been clarified. Nevertheless, today I have personally seen that if anyone is truly rendering a service to Islam today, then that is you, i.e. Ahmadis, who do so continuously with steadfastness and do not show any fatigue. Thus, we are with you. Hence, the Imam said to the people of the village that those who did not do bayt should do so now. In this manner, another 73 people of the village did the bayt. If Allah Almighty has opened their hearts and enabled them to accept the true Islam, then this is all due to His grace upon them. Some people ask, why are they converting to Ahmadiyyat? This is because they are concerned about faith and worry about their own conditions. They partake in religious gatherings that last the entire night. In comparison, people do not have time over here to sit down for that long and give time to faith and attend religious gatherings and ask questions. The Naib Nazir of Dawat-e-Ilallah in India writes that we were able to reconnect with Abdul Sattar Sahib, a friend from the city of Lakhimpur. He started crying uncontrollably when we met him and informed me that we were originally from the village of Kiranpur. We had a plot of land of 50 vigir, i.e. 25 acres, and were running a good business there. We took the oath of allegiance 12 years ago and entered the Jamaat. However, after that, we were persecuted immediately. The opponent stoned our house, forced us out of our home, injured my son severely, and also broke my wife's hand. We were so severely persecuted that we had no option but to sell our property at a very low price and leave immediately. The entire business was destroyed and we moved to a small house in the city of Lakhimpur. However, the opponents did not stop following us. They reached here and incited the local Muslims to shun us. Not a single Muslim of the city would speak to us, and we were harassed every single time we would go out. Our contact with the Jamaat was severed during this time, but Allah the Almighty showed us a magnificent sign of truthfulness of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. One day, the majority of our most prominent opponents were traveling together on a bus in order to attend a wedding. Their bus became stuck at a railroad crossing and was struck by an oncoming train. This accident resulted in the deaths of 28 people who died on the scene, and those who survived were severely injured. The dead bodies were in such a bad condition that it was difficult to identify any of them, and pieces of body parts were spread far and wide. This accident caused deaths of 9 members in each of our opponents' households. We visited the hospital to meet with those who were injured after hearing about what had happened, but the relatives of our opponents lowered their heads in shame. After this incident, a Maulvi Sahib of the Grand Mosque in the city of Lakhimpur invited those opponents who had survived and the family members of Abdul Sattar Sahib to the mosque. Maulvi Sahib addressed those opponents and said, "You all should apologize to these Ahmadis and stop oppressing them and terminate the boycott that you had organized against them." Therefore, the opposition subsided after this accident. Even though our connection with the Jamaat had been cut off, but we considered ourselves Ahmadis by heart. He was very happy when his contact with the Jamaat was re-established and they all renewed their oath of allegiance. Therefore, Allah the Almighty strengthens the faith of those who convert to Ahmadiyyat with the utmost sincerity. The missionary of Kosovo writes that Shifki Karashki Sahib, a well-known scholar, was the Imam of the Grand Mosque located near the government house. He also taught as a professor of Islamic studies in the university there, and was very well known nationwide. Several years ago, he said some provocative things about the Jamaat on radio programs and also organized propaganda on the internet against the Jamaat. Allah the Almighty sought revenge from this in the following manner. Firstly, he was suspended from the university because of some allegations about his character. Then the police arrested him based on the accusations of providing shelter to terrorists and his involvement in illegal money. He was arrested for several days and was removed as the imam of the Grand Mosque. He was relieved of all of his duties. There were a few other imams in the country who would incite the common people against the Jamaat. During the course of that year, these imams were also arrested on the basis of spreading religious hatred and causing unrest in society. He says, "It has never happened before that prominent scholars have faced such disgrace and dishonor. Allah the Almighty granted the local Ahmadis steadfastness in faith because of this." An example from India regarding oppression of new converts and the steadfastness of faith has already been shared before. There is another similar example. There is a village in UP where everyone accepted Ahmadiyyat at first, but turned away from it due to severe opposition, other than Muhammad Hanif Sahib, who remained steadfast on Ahmadiyyat. The opponents persecuted him severely, but he remained steadfast on his faith. During this time of opposition, Hanif Sahib's son passed away, and the opponents forbade him from burying his son in the graveyard and from offering his funeral prayers. Hanif Sahib was told, "We will only lead your son's funeral prayer and let you bury him in the graveyard if you turn away from Ahmadiyyat." However, Hanif Sahib remained steadfast and offered his son's funeral prayers with his children and buried him in his own house. When his contact with the Jamaat was re-established and he renewed the oath of allegiance along with his family, he became quite emotional. When someone asked, "Why did you not contact the headquarters?" he responded by saying, "People informed me that the headquarters of Qadianis, which located in Lucknow, was deserted, and the school was closed and no one had remained behind. On top of that, I did not have the contact information for the Jamaat headquarters in Qadian." But despite all of this, he remained resolute in his faith. It was the will of Allah the Almighty to guide him, so he kept him on the right path, and those who accepted Ahmadiyyat for another purpose turned away and left the Jamaat. There is another example from Ivory Coast about being subjected to injustice for the sake of the Jamaat. Seko Sahib, who is a new convert, took the oath of allegiance and wrote to his brothers, informing them about it. They responded by saying, "As per the Islamic Sharia, if you do not turn away from Ahmadiyyat within 3 days, we will have to execute you." Similarly, his business partners, who were from the Wahhabi sect, handed over his share and terminated their business partnership with him. However, Seko Sahib did not worry about any loss or opposition and remained steadfast on Ahmadiyyat with the utmost determination. Allah the Almighty has provided us, out of His sheer grace, the facility to connect with the world through MTA. The following is an incident on the effects of my televised sermons. Amir Sahib France writes, "A friend named Danyal Sahib took the oath of allegiance and entered the Jamaat. He says that before accepting Ahmadiyyat, he resided in Mayotte Island, which is an island that belongs to France. He would visit a mosque in Mayotte, and the imam there would frequently play the Friday sermons delivered by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih. In one of Hazur's sermons, Hazur mentioned the death of Jesus, and that had a profound impact on him. The imam of the mosque introduced him to the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. He was a good person and did not seek any personal gain from this. He told us to pray that Allah the Almighty may show you the right path." Danyal Sahib says, "These things had a great effect on me, and Imam Sahib instructed us to gather information about the Jamaat. So I began researching about Prophet Jesus alayhissalam on the internet and found some Jamaati videos in the French language that were about the death of Jesus. Similarly, on YouTube, I was able to find the French translation of the actual sermon delivered by Hazur about Prophet Jesus, alayhi salam. After this, I took the oath of allegiance. Misaib writes, I established contact between our missionary in charge and this imam in Mayotte, and Jamaat literature was mailed to him. By the grace of Allah, that imam took the oath of allegiance and entered the Jamaat along with 70 people. The message of Islam was propagated to this tiny island from thousands of miles away. This is undoubtedly Allah the Almighty's favor that was bestowed upon us through MTA. What sort of impact do books have on non-Muslims? A missionary from Congo Brazzaville writes, whilst narrating his incident of taking the oath of allegiance, a new convert named Ambima Sahib states, I visited my younger brother one day and saw a book there entitled The True Story of Jesus. He says, I borrowed that book from him to read. I mentioned this book to my pastor, who said, one should not read such random books without contemplating about it, because such things can cause one to lose faith. However, reading that book opened my eyes, and I realized that our pastors conceal a lot of things from us. I read that book for a second time and confirmed the references with the Bible. I got in touch with my brother, who had already joined the Jamaat, and inquired, where did you find this book, and who are these people? He said, this book is written by the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, and in a few days I will be travelling to their headquarters where Jalsa Salana Germany will take place. You should join me and we can listen to the Jalsa proceedings together and you can see these people yourself and ask questions about Islam. Hence, we went to the mission house and witnessed the environment of Jalsa. I heard your addresses and was completely transformed that I took the oath of allegiance during the Jalsa Germany by the grace of Allah. He says that I am very happy now and I feel that the purpose of my life has been fulfilled. People also experience significant transformation after taking the oath of allegiance. Zahid Wahid Sahib, a new convert from Uzbekistan, says, the way of offering prayers changed after understanding the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's commentary of Surah Al-Fatiha. I was never able to achieve what I am able to attain now when offering prayers. The commentary of the hadith which elaborates on the meaning of the word ihsan has benefited me particularly. I was not able to comprehend this meaning before. A missionary from Kosovo writes, new converts to Ahmadiyya are advancing in sincerity and sacrifice on a daily basis. A friend by the name Nazir Bahale Sahib oversees an important department in the city, and after accepting Ahmadiyya, he spends his night and day serving the Jamaat despite his other commitments. He is ever ready for any program pertaining to propagating the message of Islam or something to do with moral training. He is always ready to do Waqf-e-Arzi and visit his neighboring country. Many new Tablighi contacts have been established through him. Once he took part in a Tablighi program despite being severely ill. When he experienced a lot of weakness during the program, he went home to his wife, who was a nurse, and asked her to set up an intravenous drip for him. And upon feeling better, he stubbornly returned to the program saying, it is a Tablighi program and I must take part in it. So he returned and stayed busy with this program until late. So this is the passion these new converts have for doing Tabligh. Ibrahim Sahib, a missionary from Congo Brazzaville, writes, a village chief said, my son-in-law's behavior towards me was not appropriate. Every evening he would be drunk and use foul language and would abuse me verbally. However, I have noticed that after accepting Islam and Ahmadiyya, he has stopped drinking and using foul language. This is very astonishing for me. These are the transformations that Allah the Almighty brings about in the new converts. A new convert member from Burkina Faso writes, when I was a non-Ahmadi, I faced many difficulties and was engulfed in several issues. I would be blessed with a child, however, it would pass away quickly. I would visit the elder leaders and mendicants, some of whom would tell me to buy a goat, whereas others would tell me to buy a chicken and slaughter them where the idols were kept, and this was to remove my hardships. He further writes, When I heard the message of the Ahmadiyya community, I was moved by it, and as a result, I joined the community. The money I once would offer to the Maulvis, i.e. the religious clerics, I would now give as chanda, i.e. obligatory contribution. I witnessed that God Almighty removed all my hardships and also granted me with healthy children who survived. When the Maulvis noticed that he had stopped visiting them and accepted Ahmadiyya, they inquired, "Why have you abandoned the religion of your forefathers and father?" He says, "I informed them that I am very content. God Almighty has granted me children that survive. I pay my chanda, and God Almighty gives me double in return. This is all due to the blessings of Ahmadiyya community. He has completely altered my situation. Whatever work I wish to complete is fulfilled. It is for this reason that God Almighty has shown me this path, and the path of my father and forefathers was one of misguidance." Radio has been a useful tool in achieving beds. A missionary from Benin writes, "In a village in my region, a Christian gentleman by the name Soi Jolofon Sahib rung into our radio program and asked about the second coming of Prophet Jesus. He also extended an invitation to meet us. Hence, when we met him at a later date, we answered his questions by presenting reasons through logic and also from the Bible. By the grace of Allah, he was convinced and stated that the Ahmadiyya viewpoint on this matter is correct. He also agreed that Prophet Jesus was merely a prophet of God, and his second coming has been fulfilled in the form of the promised Messiah. He understood the matter and accepted Ahmadiyya. Having spoken to the aforementioned gentleman, he explained that he listened to our radio show regularly, and that on Mondays and Thursdays, he would leave work and come home especially for the program at its broadcast time. If one is curious about finding the truth, then God Almighty guides that individual, just as he has decreed." Ghalib Sahib, the missionary from Bolivia, writes, "William Shaheen, a priest belonging to the Jehovah's Witnesses denomination, had been a resident of Bolivia for the past 3 years. He was originally from Lebanon and was a Christian by birth. I wished to increase my knowledge about this Christian sect and set up a meeting with him. When we met for the first time, instead of informing me about his sect, he began questioning me about Islam and Ahmadiyya. Consequently, I presented the teachings of the Jamaat to him, speaking at length about the Prophet Jesus. I invited him to attend the Friday prayer services, after which he began to attend the Friday prayer services regularly. After every Friday prayers, we would have a detailed discussion. Mr. William was worried that, were he to accept Ahmadiyya, his parents as well as the church would oppose him. Consequently, he would have to find a new job. However, at the same time, he would give great importance to finding the truth. The aforementioned gentleman was fluent in Arabic, and as a result, he began studying the books of the Jamaat in Arabic online. After studying these books, he said, I had been searching for the truth for a long time, but now I have found it. Hence, without worrying about any opposition or his employment, he joined the community after one of the Friday prayer services. Whether a person performs the bayt or not, the message of Ahmadiyya certainly influences other people. Kamran Mubashir Sahib from Australia writes, We would spread the message of Ahmadiyya by going door to door. We knocked on one of the doors, and a man rushed out, and in such a ferocious manner that it seemed as if he would attack us. The missionary continues by saying, In this fit of rage, he said, Ever since you Muslims have entered into our country, you have destroyed the peace. You all should leave our country. You neither wish to integrate with us, nor will you ever try to. When he finished speaking, I said to him that he is correct, in that certain Muslim terrorists are tarnishing the image of Islam. However, our motto is love for all, hatred for none. Wherever the Jamaat is established in the world, the members of the community integrate. Our children also play in local football clubs. I myself am new here and have already become a member of the local library. Nevertheless, A lengthy discussion then ensued. That very individual, who was enraged and seemed likely to strike, became happy and said, "I would like to take a picture with you." In the end, the missionary states, "I invited him to the mission house, which he accepted wholeheartedly. It is due to the grace of Allah that he himself opens the hearts of the people towards the message of Islam." In one of my previous sermons, I mentioned that asylum seekers should also spend time in preaching the message. One such individual who applied for asylum in Germany mentioned about his case. He writes, "A judge received my file protocol. He asked me whether I partake in leaflet distribution for my community, to which I replied in the affirmative. The judge asked in which area I distribute leaflets. I named a few of the places that I distributed some leaflets. The judge said, 'That is fine. I also received a flyer in such and such place. You can go, as your case has been accepted.' In this manner, performing tabligh became the means of him winning the case." Then Kamran Mubashir Sahib, a missionary in Australia, has mentioned another incident. He writes, "Some of our members of Qudam al-Ahmadiyya, i.e. the youths, are hesitant in taking part in certain activities. Over here, in the UK, the public have become aware of the Ahmadiyya community to such an extent that this hesitation in our youths here have been removed. However, in some places this is not the case." He further writes, "A tablighi program was organized with Qudam al-Ahmadiyya Australia, in which the youth members were told to wear t-shirts bearing the information of the Jamaat, and then to preach the message to the public. One khadim, i.e. youth member, approached me and said that he feels embarrassed by wearing t-shirts with the name of the Jamaat. He then writes, "I explained to him that this will be the very reason why people will come up to us. You should wear it and see the outcome. Hence, due to the grace of Allah the Almighty, this came true, and as soon as our youth members went out, people began to take pictures with us. We gave various interviews and had the chance to spread the message. Afterwards, that same youth said, 'Initially, I was embarrassed to wear the t-shirt with the name of the Jamaat. However, I now know that all the blessings are with staying attached to the Jamaat. Thus, through tabligh, God Almighty provides the means of reforming our youth.' Allah the Almighty revealed the following words to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, 'Fahana anduana.' وَتُعْرَفَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ, i.e. the time is near when you will be helped and your name will be exalted among people." Whilst elaborating upon this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "The time is nigh when you will be helped and your name will be exalted among people." This is what this revelation means. Allah the Almighty revealed these words to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam for the very first time in 1883, and this revelation was repeated twice afterwards, when no one knew the Promised Messiah. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "Can this work be carried out or enacted by a mere human? Absolutely not. Only Allah the Almighty can do such a thing that first He informs about an event. Only He has the knowledge of the unseen, and only He can reveal any news." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam says, "This sign is fulfilled every single day, that people are being introduced to the Promised Messiah and people are taking the oath of allegiance." The Promised Messiah alayhi salam also said, "Allah the Almighty gives the glad tidings that a time will come for you when you will become well known in the world. This is taking place at this time. We are witnessing this today, that by the grace of Allah the Almighty, the name of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, the name of the Jamaat, the name of the Islam are spreading throughout the world. A voice that was raised from a far-off land has reached countless countries of the world, and it has reached 210 countries worldwide." With reference to the number of countries where Ahmadiyyat has been established, I would like to say that some people think that the Jamaat exaggerates these numbers. the number of countries in the world is not as much as we claim to be, because there are only about 190 to 195 countries in the UN membership. There is no doubt that the number of countries in the UN membership is correct, but the number of countries around the world is approximately 220. This was mentioned in BBC in reference to a game that was being televised. They said that this match will be watched in 220 countries of the world. So to give reference of the United Nations membership and to say and think that the Jamaat exaggerates the numbers and invents new numbers of countries is incorrect. Our youth should rid themselves of such thought. May Allah the Almighty enable us to spread this message, the message that Allah the Almighty has instructed us to spread through the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.